Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here another week. And I always say that literally for those of you who know me, because it's such a blessing to be alive and healthy and being able to move forward and do things and be blessed and do what God wants us to do. So I'm so excited today to be with you. And today we have an amazing guest. You know how our show is. Well, I should say you know how. Many of you that listen all the time and listen to archives know that we blend real estate with self-help, God, life, because it's all combined, it's all together. And so those of you that know us, those of you that don't, you're listening to Realty Universal Radio, and get ready for an interesting, interesting hour, jam-packed with lots of information. So in today's world, we have so much going on, especially with social networking and all different people are learning quickly. Sometimes it's real news, sometimes it's fake news, sometimes, you know, it's all over the place. And with social networking, the information is going like wildfire. We have so many different generations, all the way, you know, millennials, we've got the X, the Ys, we have the baby boomers, and just lots is happening. And robots are coming out, and it just goes on and on and on. And I think some things can get confusing to a lot of people if you don't have a foundation or you can't get grounded or there's just so much going on. And I'm just so excited when I were able to have a guest on that has years and years and years of experience and training and teaching and is actually making this difference in the world. It's just amazing how he's able to do all that he's done so far. And today we're going to talk about blended families, how not only to survive in today's world, but to thrive. Dr. Dwayne Mangum is the founder and senior pastor of Imagine Me Family Worship Center, also president and CEO of Blending to Make It Happen, LLC. Dr. Mangum is a seasoned professional that's provided services in the area of Christian counseling, blended step-family workshops and seminars, also men's leadership training workshops, and married motivational speaking seminars. Boy, everybody can use these. It's just learn so much. Married coupled retreats and mentoring young men from ages 12 to 24. That's such an important time in a man's life. Young men to men. He's also the author of two books entitled Blending to Make It and Ingredients for a Successful Blended Family and From the Incubator to the Kingdom, the story of a young man's journey to fulfill his God-given purpose. We all have a God-given purpose, every single one of us. It's not unique to anybody here on this planet. We all have it, and we all are unique, and we need to praise our unique talents, not try to be like other people, other than, of course, you know, mentoring living the journey faithfully. So it's called The Story of a Young Man's Journey to Fulfill His God-Given Purpose, Straight Talk About the Blended Family. Well, I cannot wait. So without further ado, without further ado, I'd like to introduce Dr. Dwayne E. Mangum. How are you?
I am fantastic, Natalie. Thank you again for having me on this amazing platform. You are doing an incredible, phenomenal work in the area that you've been given to excel. I'm grateful because I am alive today. My grandmother used to say it used to be funny, but now I take it as I've gotten older. Any day above ground is a good day. And so I'm great.
So, you know,
we hear these cliches as we grow up from the elder people in our life. And when you're young, you really don't take a grip of it. But I'm very grateful to be alive today. I'm grateful that
I have an opportunity to share my... getting older, the same thing, you know, when we're younger, we're like, uh-huh, sure, sure. And then you get older, you go, wow, it's a beautiful day.
It is a beautiful day. Whether it's raining or snow or the sun is shining, you learn to take the right perspective.
Absolutely.
You are so kind to allow me to share with your amazing audience my passion and platform that I really love talking, not about me, but talking about being a conduit of God to serve. And I think the biggest thing, some of the things that I've done that God has given me the grace and the purpose to do is my whole agenda, if I have one, is to serve others, to make sure that I'm a servant leader and that I'm willing to share with people the things that God has given me through experience, through life, through professional training, whatever. Just a little bit about myself, and you did a great job. I've had the opportunity to serve in the military. I served in the Navy and the Air Force, and I retired, I think, in 2012. I have 32 years of military experience. I retired from the Air Force because that's the last branch of service that I went into.
Served
10 years in the Navy. You're welcome. After college, I decided to go and to serve and do some things for this country that we've been blessed to live in and to work in and to just worship in a special way. But after I retired the military, I kind of worked for the federal government a little while, and I used some wisdom that I was given from somebody. He said, listen, man, won't you buy some of your military time to go towards your civilian retirement? This is a tip for anybody that's listening. And I bought back my active duty time, and then I collaborated that with my civilian time. And I was able to retire from the federal government with over 26 years
wow.
in 2014. So, after I graduated with my doctorate in Christian counseling, I knew I was going to write a book on blended family, because I'm a third generation blended family. Let me kind of break that down to your audience. When I was around nine or ten, my mom remarried, and she married, and so we got a stepdad. And so that was my first experience with a blended family, step family. I didn't have the wherewithal that I have now of the whole system,
right.
The whole structure. It was very difficult because when you blend a step family and you get a new father or a new mother, there's some things that they don't know about you. There's definitely things you don't know about them. And this is a different way of raising kids that are not your biological kids. And so I had a tough go of it. You know, my dad wasn't really much in my life or in my brother's life. My mom had six sons and one daughter, and she really was a tremendous single parent.
Wow.
And so, you know, we kind of motivated through that. And again, after that stopped, my mom and my stepfather, things were kind of difficult for us, specifically me. I was kind of one of those kids that wanted to inquire about, you know, in the age at where you shouldn't inquire with adults. But I always had an opportunity in my mind to say something, you know, that I thought wasn't really on board with what my mom's belief of rearing us. And so things were difficult, let me say that. And then my second time, I was young, and I met this young lady. Basically out of college, I was in my 20s, early 20s, and I met this young lady, and she had two children. I didn't have any children, didn't have any cats, dogs, and none of those other responsibilities either. So she had two children, and I got my mom's self-help and service to serve attitude and heart from her. And so I saw this young lady, so we ended up getting married. So I became a stepdad at 21. And I got to tell you something,
Natalie. How many children?
She had two. She had a young her son was eight, and her daughter was six. So I walked into a ready-made family. I was so green. I'm telling you, you thought I was green. You thought money was green.
And you were only 21.
I had no clue.
So young. Wow.
Yeah, I was 21, 22. I was so young, but I wanted to help. And sometimes you have good intentions. I know this now as I've gotten older. But sometimes your good intentions are not God intentions. And
right.
And so I went into this to try to, you know, just be a bridge of hope and help. And it was really an experience for me. And it didn't start off really, really difficult. But as I began to kind of matriculate through the whole process, it became very difficult because I was the outsider, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And being young and not understanding, unfortunately, the marriage ended in divorce, but we had two kids together. So we had a son and daughter together. So unfortunately, the marriage ended in divorce. And, you know, it was difficult for me. And I was in the ministry and I was in the military. So it was a lot going on in my life. And so my third encounter, I think I'd been single for about 5 years after the divorce. And I met this young lady through my brother.
How old were your children when you got divorced? Your two. How old were your two?
My two were 17 and 13. Somewhere 17
wow,
and 15.
You stayed together a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, we were together for a while. 17 years, I think. I was married in that marriage
wow.
for 17 years. And all of it wasn't difficult. It's just that I tell people and I say positive things about what happened. I played a role in the demise of the marriage because I was young and I didn't understand and some of the things of being felt like I was an outsider and kind of didn't realize how to navigate through those mountains. And
right.
so we end up disconnecting for a lot of different reasons. We have different views. We have different, I guess, philosophies about life and dreams. And as I got older, I said, wow, man, I'm in a situation where there's really not a lot of serious compatibility, you know, and things just went the way they went. And I believed in counseling. I'll say this for your audience, that after the divorce, I went through 6 months of counseling with a Christian counselor. Not that I was cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, but I wanted to be better.
That doesn't, no,
and
counselors
I wanted to
are good.
Understand.
Right.
Yeah. And I wanted to get that type of counseling and wisdom and advice. So if I was to get married again, I wouldn't take all the baggage. I wouldn't take all the difficulties that they would put in the right perspective. And so after that, our two kids, and so I believe it or not, I was 25. I had four kids, and I'm telling you, I didn't know what you know.
Oh, wow.
The military kind of saved me. The military kind of saved
yeah.
me because you know they provided you know the income, provided the housing. It was so the military was a great benefit for all the things
right.
that were going on. But moving forward, I learned a lot, and then so I was single about 5 years, and my brother, he was dating a young lady, and the young lady introduced me to one of her girlfriends. And lo and behold, God kind of just, after he healed me and did what he needed to do with me, and, you know, I offered my biological kids so they could get counseling, and they went through the process. But what happened
right.
to me was that I told God, I said, God, I really don't want to get married again. I said, God, I was healed.
How old were
I felt
you then?
Better.
Were you? How old were you about that?
Oh,
like
I was
20, 30,
I was
30,
probably,
late
30s? I was in my late 30s.
Okay.
So I was like, you know, I was in a whole different space, Natalie. And
right?
so I
yeah,
was like,
definitely.
Man, you know, I'm kind of like moving forward. You know, you grew up, you experienced what you experienced. You didn't hold any hard feelings. You forgave the person. I forgave my former wife and all the other things that was going on because I knew that I needed to move forward and I needed to,
right.
to carry what I needed to carry to do the will of God. And so in the midst of that, that was my second generation. So my third generation, I met this young lady, my wife, my current wife named Michelle, and we've been married for over 15 years, going on 16 years now.
Wow, congratulations.
And thank you. And so, you know, she had a son from a previous marriage. And so I'm in the blended family again. I've been the blended family again with my two biological kids and her son. And so we
wow.
we kind of connected. It was basically God-led, God-given, and we really started our relationship from a spiritual perspective. We started praying together first. We started reading God's word.
That's great.
We didn't get into anything that was physical, anything that was – because we made a decision
wow.
that now that we're going to do it the right way. We were
wow.
older. I was older. And so we both I don't mind sharing, Pete. We both were celibate for 15 months before we got married. You know,
wow,
we made a decision.
Congratulations.
You know?
Congratulations.
Yeah, we made, thank you. We made a decision because we knew that we wanted God to smile on our marriage and that we wanted to do it His way, not our way. Because we figured that the things we've done our way really didn't work out too well. It really didn't work out too well.
I want to ask you real quick, though. Your children, like from your first marriage, when you had two children already, and then you had two children together. Well, she had two children, and then you had two children together. With a blended family, I mean, did you end up staying in touch with the two children that weren't your biological children? Like, you wonder how that works, right?
Periodically, I got to be honest, there's a lot of people that got in their ears that wasn't really healthy.
Right.
And
they kind of
pointed the finger at me. That's what happened.
Sure.
That's the reality of, and so we disconnected. Not so much on my part, but what they were told or what they were given. I often talk about this. It's very, very important that if it is a divorce or it is a disconnection, that you don't make the kids the scapegoats or the casualty of a disconnection or a divorce, because that's what happens with adults. You know, adults, we want to pick someone that we can kind of manipulate and overwhelm and point the finger. You know, and so that's what happened with our relationship with my non-biological children. Not something that I wanted to do because I really cared for them. I really wanted to, I really wanted to be a motivating principle for them to see that, listen, mistakes happen, failures happen, but failures for me is not the end of the world. It's a way to pivot. If you take the right perspective, you get connected with
the
right people. That allows you to grow from your disappointments or your failures. See, I think, Natalie, one of the things about being in a blended family is that there's not enough – I don't think there's a lot of people that take the good times and the bad times and the ugly times and turn them around to become better times, because it's about development and growth. And so when you go through that
process – and loving each other.
You've
got to
have forgiveness.
Yeah, it's hard, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I know God said we have to, but
it's very difficult.
It's not easy.
It wasn't easy for me, but one of the things I made sure that I got counseling. I went through 3 times a week for 6 months.
And ministry counseling,
Christian counseling. It was Christian based counseling.
Right.
It wasn't because I was a minister. I mean, I was an ordained pastor when I got divorced. And so even though I was in the military, I was still ordained to pastor. And so that was very difficult. I was even a pastor in a church while I was stationed locally, you know, because I got off of active duty and went into the reserves so I could do some things ministerial. But, you know, it was very difficult. It was a tough time for me. I took a lot of shots from other pastors and other ministries. So it was one of those very Job experiences, if you will. And I'm not saying my experience was as biblical as Job, but it had some of Job's ingredients, if I could use that vernacular. So
I can get it. It makes sense.
Went through that process. It was very difficult, but God always told me, He said, I've forgiven you. Cause I didn't go into the relationship with my former wife to get divorced, but things happened. And so, you know, and I had to forgive myself first. That's the first thing my Christian counselor told me. She said, Dwayne, you need to forgive yourself first. You know, you were young. Yeah. You took on a great deal of responsibility. And most people would not do that. Most young men would not do that. And, you know, and I'm not saying that's the reason, because I always had a heart to see people do better, to see families do better, to see my former wife do better. I was always educational minded. I was always financial minded, and I brought some things to the table.
Sounds like you really
because
did.
I was a visionary. I was a visionary.
Right.
You know, and I wanted them to finish their high school and even go into college and do some things. But when people don't understand those critical points in children's lives, then they don't. If they never done it, then it's very difficult for them to convey that. You know, without seeming like you're pushy or that you're trying to coerce somebody to be like you. And I told them, I said, you know, because one person said, you're trying to make them. I said, no, I want them to be better. Because life, when you grow up and you don't have certain things in your life that you have accomplished, education, certain things, then your life becomes a lot more challenging. you know. And so I saw these things even at a 20-year-old, 15-year-old, 16-year-old.
Smart,
I just
really
had a vision
brilliant.
For things, you know.
Brilliant.
And I wanted to put things in place financially. I wanted, you know, I talked about investment. I mean, I talk about a plethora of things with my former
That's
wife.
That's amazing, though. You're so brilliant with that because it's, no, you're brilliant that you've set up the foundations and then investments and things so that, and the military, over 32 years, that's a long time, you know. And then that's fantastic.
Yeah.
To,
and so I,
wow.
no, I just,
I got
it was, but it was
go,
really
I just
God.
Have a quick question because I always, oh
sure.
God, is it, I have a quick question just because I want to know you and I want to know, when your mom, you said you had, there were six boys and one girl, right?
Yes.
Your mom had six boys and one girl. So when she got married, was that blended or did the man take on all stepchildren?
Well, he had three daughters.
You said, I mean, when you were 10, right? So
yeah, my stepfather, my mom told me he had three daughters. Now I never met them because they lived in a different state.
They were old.
He was divorced.
So when he married your mom, he had six children to take care of, right? Seven.
Yes, he had six children. Seven.
Seven.
Well,
seven,
no, my
nine,
sister
six,
was
seven.
Older. My sister is 10 years older than the boys. My twin brother,
wow,
we're the oldest. We were the oldest sons.
Was he older or young, or that's amazing to me. That's good. That's perfect. It should be that way, right? You're supposed to love. Yeah. But that's amazing.
Yeah, my twin brother, I had a twin. We were the oldest sons.
Oh, neat.
So
wow.
My sister, she was 10 years older than us, my brother and I, my twin brother.
Okay.
My mom had stair steps. We were all like stair steps, a year apart, 2 years apart, 3 years.
Wow.
I think my younger brother, I was 5 years older. Yeah, 4 or 5 years older than my younger brother. Yeah, my baby brother, I was 5 years older than him. So we were all like stair steps. So it was crazy.
That's great. That's fantastic.
But my mom was a brilliant woman. Incredibly, she was just so super smart. And she kind of laid some really powerful foundations inside of us that allowed us to see things from a different vantage point. And when I tell you she was incredible, in my opinion, an incredible single mom. And she had discipline. She had priorities. She had focus.
Wow.
I mean, was just and when I tell you, Natalie, I am my mother's son. I tell people look at me. I may look like my dad, but I'm a lot of things about me. I'm my mother's son because, you know, my mom had such a tremendous heart of love and care and just wanted really the best for her sons and her daughter. And so, we came from the same mom and dad. Yeah. And so,
that's fantastic.
Yeah. My stepdad took on a lot of responsibility, but he knew from what my understanding, I didn't know a lot about that because I wasn't involved in their courtship or relationship, but I knew he knew because my mom was very proud of sharing with every person that she met that, listen, I got six boys and one daughter, and this is really the deal. And so, you know, there were some things. It was a package deal. You can't take my mom and you can't take us because we're part of her. But you know, and then getting moving forward again, then I met my wife, Michelle.
Wow.
And it was a total different godly thing. It was just so unreal what God did for me with her. Because I got to be honest with you, I was in a place that, you know, not in a negative place, but I said, I don't know if I can be married again and do the ministry.
Right.
Because everybody is not going to attach to someone that's serious about ministry, you know.
Aww.
And I knew I was very careful, you know, and I was on the dating scene for a little while, not a lot, because I was like, oh, no, I got to stay close to God.
Right.
I
wouldn't get married again if the man wasn't Christian, but it's difficult. You know what I mean? It's difficult to find.
Yes,
like
it's very difficult.
I can't do that. If he's not Christian, I can't, you know what I mean? I can't consider it.
Yeah,
I mean,
certain things you cannot settle for. And so.
No, I can't be yoked with a non-believer.
No, not at all. And so when I met my wife, incredible Christian woman of God, and she says this to me, one thing she said, I've always wanted to be in ministry with my husband.
Wow.
And I was floored.
Wow.
And 15 months later, now I got to be honest, God told me that she was going to be my next Esther. She was going to be my Esther. And
how did you know?
He was right.
Like, did you know, like, the first, tell us how you met. This is where it gets
well, we,
tell us how you met.
Okay. My twin brother, like I said, he was dating her girlfriend, and
oh,
so
he did.
We
That's
met
what
over
the
phone. Yeah,
okay,
my twin brother. We met over the
gonna
phone.
Gonna fix you up.
And we just start talking. She was in another state. I was in another state, and we just started talking about God. And I, you know, every morning I had devotions, prayer, and read scripture before I went to work. And so I said to her, I said, you know, after we talked on the phone, I don't know how long we talked, but we talked for a long time, just about God, just about life. I'm just understanding and, you know, where we were trying to go, not trying to be intimate, not trying to be serious, just trying to be a friendship.
Right.
And so basically our relationship started off as a godly friendship.
Wow.
And we were praying in the morning. It's funny, she's not here, but I'm going to tell the story real quick. She, I told her, I said, listen, can I call you tomorrow? Because I get up at about 5 a.m. I normally go in prayer and have my devotion, my scripture before I go out the door to work, before I face the world. And I said, listen,
right after you met.
Can I call you?
This is right after you met.
Right after we met. We had talked a couple
okay.
days. And then I said, listen, I have devotion every morning. And I told her about my devotion process and what I do. And she said, well, listen, you can call me. So I told her I'd call you at 5 o'clock. So the next day I called her at 5 o'clock. She was dead asleep, but I kept ringing the phone. And she finally got up. She said, who is this? And they called me D. I said, I'm D. This is D. How are you? Good morning. And I was bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, if you could use that cliche. She was like, it's 5 o'clock in the morning. Why are you so? I said, that's just, I'm as they say, and I don't tell people, I'm a morning person. And so anyway.
Right.
She said, okay, let me get myself together because you were serious about calling at 5 o'clock. I said, yeah, I was serious. So I called her, and then I had prayer, and then I said, could you read scripture? And so she read scripture, and then I laid out in prayer, and then we started our day like that every morning. And,
really?
Finally
but
got a chance
never
to, yeah,
for
finally.
The 15 months. Wow.
No, never stopped. Every day. And I finally met her. So I was going to where she lived. She lived in Philadelphia. And so I said, well, I'm going to come down. And so we met at church.
Were you in D.C.?
We met at church. No, I was
where
in Connecticut.
Then?
I was in
okay.
Connecticut. And so I was
wow.
working in Connecticut. And then she was in Philadelphia. So I drove from Connecticut down to Philadelphia. And so I went to church. And
wow.
we first met face-to-face at church. And then we went out and had lunch. And I know people say the rest is history, but it really was just a beautiful thing. And then she introduced me to her mom and then her dad, her brother, then her son, and we had a great conversation and boom, boom, boom. And after 3 months, I knew it was time. I knew she was going to be my next Esther because I began to pray and fast and seek God because I felt this
wow.
connection, this compatibility.
Did you know like the first couple days kind of, or and then after 3 months you knew for sure or – kind of like
no, I didn't know because I had my no marriage signal blinders up. I said
it.
No marriage, no
right.
talk about marriage, no, just have a friendship. I didn't want to rush into nothing. So probably after like
right.
a month and a half,
wow,
you know, I kind of you know I said God, what do you how do you want this to roll out? And God said
wow.
she's going to be your wife. He spoke
wow.
to my heart.
Wow.
And then I got
so
the
you were
carrots.
Doing the, you were doing
the
prayer every morning,
devotion.
But then seeing each other, what, on the
yeah.
weekends or just kind of going back and forth? Wow.
Well, no, we didn't see each other on the weekends. I mean, it wasn't all the time. You know, it was periodically, you know.
Wow.
It really wasn't. And we just stayed in contact, you know, on the phone. We would talk for days. We talked for hours. We get on the phone in the evening
wow.
when she got off and settled, and I got off and settled, and we would just talk. And, you know, when God orchestrates it, when you let God run it and you give it to God, he always allows you to win. And
isn't
so
it amazing how God does? God does.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like it's amazing how it's like, okay, this is right, and then, yeah. Or these things will happen that seem like miracles, but they are miracles, and it's amazing, just amazing.
Yeah, because he had to condition my heart and even condition her heart. Because, you know, she had came through a challenging divorce as well. And I think she was, when I met her, she had been divorced for 7 years. And I'd been divorced for five
yeah.
years. And so, you know, we kind of took it real slow, though, Natalie. We didn't, even though our feelings was growing, we kind of just let God kind of orchestrate this thing. because
great.
We didn't want to run into something that God did not put his stamp of approval. I wasn't concerned about what
sure.
people thought. I'm going to be honest with you.
Right.
I really wasn't.
Right.
Because I wasn't marrying people. I wasn't thinking
exactly.
about marrying people.
Exactly. No, good point. No, good point.
You know, and so after that, we hung out together and we went out to dinner and we were at a military base. We were doing something and I had bought the ring. I didn't tell her I bought the ring because I was
you
ready
did?
To move. Once
after,
I, after that
like
3 months.
You did it?
Yeah. After
you
that.
Did 3 months? Wow.
Listen, when God say move, you got to move. But it was by
yeah,
faith,
know,
so
I
it
agree.
Wasn't by because I dotted every because she dotted every I and crossed every T. This thing was a faith move.
Wow.
And God told me because I told God, I said, God, if it's your will for me to be married again, then God, you do what you need to do. I'm willing to wait. God, if it's 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, I'll wait, God, if it's your plan for me. If it's not, God, then I just would have been a celibate single man. You know, and
wow, right,
you know,
right.
I was just at a place because I didn't want to repeat history. I didn't want to go into
right.
a relationship where divorce was there. I really didn't.
Right. I don't
and I wasn't that. Going to put that on no one. I wasn't going to put that on myself. And so after 3 months, you know, I told her I proposed and she told, you know, but first of all, I asked her dad before I even posted. I
that
asked
is
her
so
dad.
That's so respectful of you. Aw.
Yeah, I went to her dad and I said, listen, I love your daughter. We both love God and I want her to be my wife, but I need to get your permission to marry your daughter. And
oh,
so I was
beautiful.
In my early 40s. So
that's beautiful.
And he gave me the permission because I spent time with him. You know, I hung out and talked to him. So we had spent some time, you know, together and, you know, in the last 3 months, you know, because I will make,
wow.
you know, I'll make some trips down. And I wanted to meet her mom
right.
and dad. So, you know, and just put the work in to make sure that, you know, and I was transparent with them. I told them what my goals was, what I wanted to do.
That is so amazing.
You know, what I wanted. I just wanted to serve,
that's
you
right.
know. And I told them, I said, I want to serve
right.
your daughter. I said, listen, I'm not coming to try to change her. She's beautiful inside and out. I said, that's good enough for me. You know, I just need your blessing. And he gave me his blessing. So, really, the rest is history. You know, 15 months later, we got married. We had a wedding, and now we're looking at going on 16 years of tremendous blended family, you know. Thank you. And, you know, our kids like one another. And they're all young adults,
the
but best. They like one another. And I don't use the word step. I use the word son. And I told my non-biological son, I'm not calling you step. You're my son. And one thing I told him, I said, I'm not here to replace your biological dad. That's not my goal.
Right.
My goal
is to
mentor you, to coach you, to teach you, and to give you valuable principles for you to fulfill your God-given purpose to experience greatness in your life. You know, and so that's kind of been my mindset by being a part of this blended family, step family. And so, you know, running forward, God gave me, he said, I want you to go back to school. I finished my master's degree, so I want you to go back to school a few years after that. He said, I want you to get your doctorate degree because I'm sending you back into pastoral ministry one day.
Wow.
And then I had assignment in my doctoral program, one of my classes, and we had to, you know, figure what we wanted to write something. And I said, I'm going to write on the blended family because I've been a part of it. I know it
right.
inside and out, you know,
right.
to a certain degree, rather. And so that kind of pushed
started
me to write, after I graduated, to write my book and to do blended family seminars and coaching and counseling and all over the place. And now my wife and I, since January, we started out, well, we have our own radio show on the WBGR
wow.
Health and Wellness Network, which is an online live streaming radio show called Straight Talk About the Blended Family. And we talk about everything. We just finished Wednesday. It's every Wednesday. I think we just finished our 36th episode of
great.
This year. We started January the 9th. And so
wow.
every Wednesday from 1:30 to 2:30, we're
love
airing. We're sharing things, how to make blended families soar.
How do they find you? On there?
Oh, they can find me they can find me on Facebook. You can find me at Dr. D. You can find me on Instagram at Blending to Make It Two. You can find me on LinkedIn, Dr. Mangum. You can find me on Twitter, I Blend. I mean, yeah, I'm easy
and
to
your
find.
Show, how do they
on
find any your show? How do they find your show, too?
You can go to WBGR, Health and Wellness Network, or you can go on Facebook.
Okay, cool.
So you can find me on Facebook. The WBGR Network is on Facebook. You can find our show. So like I said, we do it every Wednesday, Natalie, from 1:30 to 2:30 live.
Perfect.
Air live every day, every Wednesday. And so, any more questions? I know we've talked for 35 minutes. So.
Oh no, I love it. I love it. This is so interesting, so fantastic, and you know, it's amazing because people, you know, it's like the Bible is the best instruction book out there, I believe. You know what I mean? As far as getting into.
No, you're right.
Learn, you know, we read and read and read and we learn and go to school and do this. But I don't think there's a book that's better than that for instructions. And it's funny how people that will not read the Bible or get into the Bible, many times I'll hear them say, oh, no, I'm not going to, you know, I don't need to do it. And they think because the Bible was written years ago, that it isn't going to apply today. So could you tell our audience, like, you know, inside and out. So what would you say?
I will tell them that. Yeah. The first blended family was in Genesis chapter 16. The first blended family when Abram slept with Sarah's handmaiden and Ishmael was conceived. That's the first blended family.
Wow.
It was in the Bible. It wasn't in the 21st century. Even though the research says that 1,300 blended families and step families are formed every day. The Bible is so simplistic that it tells you everything you need to know. It talks about education. It talks about how to cook. It talks about how you court someone. It talks about how to treat your husband, how to treat your wife, how to treat your kids. Everything you need is in the Bible. It tells you how to take care of your own lawn. It can be intricate, but it's so simplistic. I mean, it can tell you how to treat your neighbors, tell you how to treat your in-laws. It tells you how to set boundaries within your family, with your husband and wife, and with your children, with your it teaches you so many valuable life principles. The Bible is the best life book. And I know there's some tremendous life coaches out here. There's some, and the Bible is a business book. It tells you how to run your own business. One of the things it tells you before you go into business, it tells you to count the costs, do the background economics on it. You know, the book is about economics. The richest people in history is in the Bible. Solomon was rich and wise.
Yes.
He was a CEO. You know, what you think a king was? King David was a CEO. He really was.
Right.
He was the chief executive officer of Judah. I mean, I'm with you, Natalie. The Bible
gives you everything
you need.
You know, and God really gives us peace, you know, too, because when you look at that, and it's funny. It's funny, I've learned over the years, you know, when you, like, I didn't understand, I went through some ministry counseling a year before my brother died and a year after, and it was the best counseling I ever received in my entire life, and I had been to secular counseling at different times in my life, it was just amazing. When they got into the family DNA and the curses, family curses and generational curses, well, I'm like, I don't want a part in my family. I'm not going to be a part of my family. Oh, it doesn't mean anything, you know, and it was so funny how it's just amazing. Wow, I can't explain. I used to get a pit in my stomach, like for certain things, like, and I never, within a couple months of doing ministry counseling with a pastor who'd been doing it for 30 some years, that went away and never came back. Even when my brother died, it didn't come back. The pit in my stomach, the certain feeling, you know, that I would have.
Yeah.
Because when I was younger, we had a lot of abuse in our family. So I broke the curse. I broke the whatever. But it's amazing when you get the Holy Spirit involved and, you know, when it's just amazing.
Yes.
The peace
incredible.
And the love. And then you start changing because because you're like, no, I don't want, I can't do, oh no. And it's not guilt ridden. It's awareness ridden is the way I would want to put it as a layperson, you know, like it doesn't make sense. It's,
no, that makes a lot of sense. Let me tell you something. You're so important, Natalie. I'm telling you. Listen, one of the things that we do at our ministry is about restoration, reconciliation,
mm-hmm.
and redemption. And we talk about, one of the key things I talk about is love. The ministry that I minister as a senior pastor and founder is love. We tell people we got to love you to the kingdom. Regardless of where you are in life, regardless of your lot, regardless of your addiction, regardless of your failure, regardless of your mistakes. There's a scripture I often quote in Galatians 6:1. It says, if a brother and sister be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore. I'm big on restoration.
Okay.
Because I needed somebody to restore
me. Can you repeat those three R's? Because I think it's beautiful.
Sure. Redemption. No, I talk about restoration, redemption,
okay.
and reconciliation.
Redemption and reconciliation.
Restoration, redemption, and reconciliation. When you deal with those three, you change as a person's inside and outside. Because most people just need to be loved. Everybody, let me tell you something, everybody in every family has faced generational curses and abuse, whether it's been mental,
mm-hmm.
emotional, or physical.
Mm-hmm.
We just not aware of it until it is triggered, until it comes to life in our situation. You know, and we're so quick to put things under the carpet, if you will, instead of drilling. We live in a world, the reason why our world is in the state it's in, because we live in a world where people maximize denial. They maximize denial. And that's where they cannot get free from the bondages and the things that holds them hostage and prisoners. And when Christ comes in and he becomes the leader of your life, he becomes the lover of your soul, then there's a transformation. Then there is a conversion. And so
mm-hmm.
when I talk to blended families, when I talk to step families, I talk about forgiveness. I talk about forecasting what God is going to do in your life. Because he said in one scripture, Jeremiah 29:11, he said, I know the thoughts I think of you, not of evil, but of good, to bring you to expect it in. You know, I was talking to a pastor friend of mine, and he said something so powerful, because everybody's not saved. And everybody may not want to be saved. Church may not be people's thing. And I get that.
No.
I really get that.
Right.
But the thing about it we were talking about is doing things that are right. And see, when you do things that are right, in order to be consistent in doing things that are right, you got to do things, you got to be connected with the righteous one. Because he is consistent. If you're not, you want to do things right all the time, get connected with the righteous one. Listen, I tell people all the time, I'm not a perfect pastor. I don't dot every I and cross every T. That's why I can go to the Savior and ask him to help me and forgive me and help me to get back to where I need to get. But I'm telling you right now, one of the things that I love about what God has got me to do, and I have a tremendous, I don't call my wife my help, I call her my friend. I call her my buddy. You know, I call her my buddy. She's a tremendous woman of God, and I love serving her. I put on my waiter hat every now and then, so I can serve her. You know, I get my tray. When can I serve you? How can I serve you better? And so Natalie, you know, the things that we grow in and the things that God has given me to do with my book, with my counseling center, how to mentor young men. Because somebody mentored me. My father wasn't in, my biological father was not prominent in my life or even in my brother's life. So I had some coaches, like sport coaches and uncles
that
kind of mentored me and kind of coached me and to help me to be a better person, to help me to be a better young man. My mom taught us how to treat women because she was the first example. This is how you're going to treat women. And, you know, I want to say this real quick. My wife and her friends, female friends, they don't open doors or cars or open chairs when we go to a restaurant. And I tell them that you don't open doors because that's my blessing for me to open the door. My wife would go to a store, and she would stand at the door. And people are like, why are you standing? My husband is parking the car, and I can't touch that door. If not, I'm going to get a five-minute lecture because I'm messing up his blessing.
I love it. I love it.
And so, you know, I just, I think the thing that helps me to do what I do with a passion and even with a loving conviction is because I want to be a part of what God is doing to make people better, to help people know how valuable they are. My second book, From the Incubator to the Kingdom, A Story of a Young Man's Journey to Fulfill His God-Given Purpose, is really my memoir about some of the things that
really?
I went through. And yeah, it's my memoir. And I tell people to get it because it takes you from the incubator. I was a twin. So I was 3 pounds and 4 ounces, and my twin was 3 pounds and 6 ounces. So
who's
back
older?
When I was born, he's older. He's
okay.
Older. He's 2 minutes older, I think. Yeah. He's older.
Okay.
I 2 minutes. Listen, I'm not worried about two. That's 200.
Focus.
That's 240 seconds.
Yeah.
So it's okay. So, but you know, it's funny because I wasn't developed, I stayed in the incubator long. And real quick about
aww.
That book, it tells you how when you get in Christ, when you first get in Christ, you are in the incubator process. And the incubator
yeah.
is the nurturing process.
Yeah, that makes so much sense because it takes us years to it's like God molds us and works on us. And,
yes.
Yeah.
And so
amazing.
I was in that incubator,
amazing.
The physical incubator, until I got stronger for 30 days, until I got stronger,
yeah.
until I could take the nutrients, until I could move, until I could operate. And so that book takes you from the incubator to the kingdom, takes you through my life. And it
wow.
shares that, you know, some of the things I've been through and some of the things I had to deal with as a very young child. And I won't give it away, but they can get my book on Amazon or
that's
anywhere.
That's what I was going to ask you.
You can get it on
Amazon
Book
okay.
and Noble. I have a paperback.
Perfect.
I have a hard copy. I have an e-book. But that book is really that. So my wife and I have co-authored a book that's going to be coming out. We thought we were going to do it on the summer, but we've been so busy, so we're going to probably get it out
sure.
before the end of the year called Straight Talk About the Blended Family, Keeping It 100. So we dig in that book. We expose some stuff that people don't talk about.
Keeping It
100. Straight Talk About
okay.
the Blended Family, Keeping It 100.
Wow.
And basically what it's doing, it's being honest and transparent. And when we give you remedies to some of the challenge you have in your step family, blended family, we give about five after each chapter. We give you five principles that you can
wow.
apply to transforming your blended family or pivoting. That's my that's one of my favorite words, Natalie, pivoting. So, you know, I'm working on another book. I can't get it out yet, but I got another book.
I love it.
God gives me books
to
write.
You know,
we
have God in our – it's just so amazing how – and I think when you said about redemption, you know, and also forgiveness too, and it's just
yeah.
– I love the three R's. You know, I love the way you put that too with restoration, redemption, and reconciliation. It's just – it's amazing because when you look – like I can't – I love when you were saying if it's the weather's warm or cold or whatever, you know, raining, it's beautiful. It really is. And I've lived in Hawaii for years, and then now I'm back and forth between Maryland and Hawaii, and I really – I'm an East Coast gal, you know. So even though I lived in Hawaii as a kid
okay.
for 3 years and then since 99, I love the East Coast, you know, because it just we've got everything on the East Coast, right? So,
But
people are complaining. I go out and they're complaining, it's raining, it's humid. I said, it's beautiful. Because when you live in the same temperature for years, you love the changes. You know, when I've lived in the islands and then I come back to the East Coast, I love it. And, you know, God gave us such beautiful, beautiful, beautiful everything
oh,
when
yeah.
we're grateful and we appreciate. It's just amazing how beautiful it is. The peace. I think when you mentioned earlier, we all need love, and we really, really all need love, and we're all beautiful, and we need to understand that because
yeah.
so many people try to be like someone else or they're critical, but we need love and peace and love are the you get that when you learn in the foundation, and you know you think before we speak, we think before we get angry, right? We can forgive.
Yes.
It's a tough
yes.
thing that forgiveness is definitely difficult. Like I have to forgive for constantly on one person I won't mention right now, but it's like, and I do, I constantly have to do that to in order
well, that's
to
okay.
you know,
listen,
family member.
That's
but you
okay.
do it.
Let me tell you something. You do it because here's the thing. I always tell people, and let me say this about peace. One of the things I mandate is when I come home, my home is a sanctuary of peace. And I'm going to
mm-hmm.
tell you something, Natalie. I tell your audience, I fight for my peace. I fight for my Jehovah Shalom.
Awesome.
And I'm not going to let people,
Amen.
I'm not going to let my job, I'm not going to let what I do in ministry. I told the congregation, we're new because we started this ministry in 2017. We transitioned to, from one place, from one state to another. But I tell people that here's my priority. God first, my family second, and the church third. And I tell you, I said, let me tell you why I have that priority.
God, family, and because the church. I understand that. Go ahead. Please tell me. Yep.
Let me break that down. Because God has to be first. My family has to be second. Because when the church has dissolved, when the people have left, or the people upset with the pastor, upset with the first lady, I still have my family. And too many people are in ministry today that make the church over their families. But that's not God's divine order.
No, I agree.
The family was instituted before the church, for the physical church.
Yes.
He created the family after he created everything. It was a family.
Yes. That's beautiful.
So,
and the fellowship is so important. You know, a lot of times people say, well, why am I going to go to this and this? The fellowship's important, and then when you realize it and you start, you see, wow, these people are really nice. I mean, there's good and bad and everything, right? But, I mean, these people are really nice, a fellowship, when you're fellowshipping with other Christians. And it's just, but God is first. When we, it's funny, when we can really put God first, how he does steer the way, move the path out, things happen. I could tell you miracle after miracle after miracle in my life that, oh, no. And I have the domain name. It's called It's God, Not Me. And
wow.
We're going to do blogs and things with it and let other people put their, you know, their information up there. I've just been a little busy with real estate business all these years. And God's showing
but
me
listen,
it's okay. I can
no, I,
pull
I love
back.
That. Yeah. It's okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, Natalie, everything should be about God and your love and your peace. One of the things before
everything.
I make any decision with ministry or anything, God gives me peace. See, I don't move because of the trend. I don't move because something is popular, something is popping.
Mm-mm.
Do I have peace with my move? Has God orchestrated it? Because if I do things in peace, I will do it in excellence. I won't do it out of hurry.
Yes, no.
And so,
amen. And it's amazing when you said earlier, like God kind of gave you a vision, or you knew you had to do this, or you knew we'd do it. Like when we really start listening, we're praying and praying and praying, we can tell when that's God, you know? I mean, sometimes you have to go, okay, is this coming from God or the other guy? And the other, no, I don't want to. I mean, just saying, you never go, wait a minute, I have to decipher this. But that peace and that stillness, and you know it feels right. It's not, it's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, Really Universal, the mission on Really Universal is really all about people and serving. It's not just real estate. And real estate's the vehicle, but so many times it's too exhausted because you're doing, and then I get a good night's sleep and go, okay, God, yes, sir. You know how, like, you just, because you know the mission God's showing you, even though it may not be a straight line. It may be over here and over there. And then he gives us the desires of our heart. God is so amazing. And I think unless we've lived it and seen it and watched and go, wow, sometimes you can see where somebody that, you know, was younger and wasn't raised it that way may not get it for a long time or may dispute it. You know, and I always say, if you're disputing it, just dispute it like crazy, because look at, like, A Case for Christ and A Case for Faith. The books were, Lee Strobel wrote them. And he was
I heard of Lee Strobel,
what I understand. Yeah, and he was an investigative journalist for Chicago Tribune years ago. And then his wife, I think, got saved. And he was on a mission to totally disprove it all. And guess what? He became a minister. I mean, it's like so cool, you know, when you look at I just love it, you know, so much. I want to touch on one thing. I don't mean to take us off of this, but you're so right there and right where it goes. Tell everybody how important prayer is. Like, I pray all the time, and I always tell people, that's our telephone to God. And it's like, you know, look what Jesus did in 3 years that we couldn't, you know, 3 years without the internet or a phone. Come on, hello. You know, this is what I say. But it really is. So tell people how prayer works, because when people understand prayer and they can turn it over and they can talk whenever, however, it's not like you have to do a certain way. I mean, although we all get used to our, you know, prayers and ways. Can you speak a little bit on that?
Sure. Prayer is such a way to enjoy God. You don't have to be eloquent. You don't have to be articulate. You can just be, like we're having a conversation right now. I talk to God like I'm talking to you. I'm giving him a lot more reverence But prayer allows me, with faith, to release every anxiety and to know I'm giving it to somebody that has full autonomy to handle it. See, when we pray, we get to a place that where we're no longer trying to figure it out. We're giving to the one that already has every answer. And so when I communicate with God, I tell God, I said, Daddy, you know what's going on. You know I don't know which way to go, so I'm putting it in your hands because you know how to handle it. Prayer should be something like when we breathe. When you breathe the oxygen, you should pray. And see, prayer doesn't have to happen really in a private place. It's good to have private prayer, your own private closet. But I pray walking down the street. I may pray with my eyes open driving my car. I just wanted to throw that out there. Now, don't close
it. I do too. Yes.
Don't pray. It's like, I know the angels will protect. No. Open your eyes, please. Open your eyes, you know, because you got to know where you're going unless you pull your car over. And I want it. Because,
we don't have to close our eyes to pray.
No, we don't have to close our eyes to pray. But prayer for me is not only my way to talk to God, but it's also my way to listen to him. Because sometimes we talk too much. And sometimes we just need, God just want us to listen to his voice. His voice is always loving. His voice is always instructive. And he never drives. The other guy always drives. God always leads. Stop trying to lead God in prayer and let him lead. Allow humility.
Exactly.
To be the coping or the compass. And so when I pray, and so to your audience, pray about everything.
Yeah.
It's one scripture said men should always pray, but I know he was talking to women too.
Exactly.
And see, we have made prayer so doctrinated that people feel like they got to pray this way and that way. I tell people just to communicate with God the very best way you know how. But prayer becomes consistent when we develop our relationship with God and know that God accepts
Absolutely.
Us where we are right now in our space. Everybody's at different spaces when we pray. And you have to pray with faith, but faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If you pray with the prayer of a mustard seed with faith, you can speak to the mountain. And the mountain
Isn't that
got
amazing?
To move. But if you do it consistently, see, the problem when we pray, we don't do it consistently, and we don't have to be in a closet every time. You can be at a mall and praying. You can be sitting, getting ready to do a conference or getting ready to come on radio with the wonderful Natalie, and you can pray. Trust me, before I came on your show, I just got in my office and began to talk to my daddy. I call him Daddy. I said, Daddy, you know all about what I'm going to talk about. You guide me what I'm going to say on Natalie's broadcast, on her show, on her blog. Because, God, it can't be about me. It has to be about you. And lo and behold, I'm on here talking to you.
Isn't that funny?
And we just had a blessing, God. We just had a blessing,
God. And you know what?
I
prayed before we got on, too.
Listen, and prayer is not a pressurized thing.
No way.
If you pray,
no,
let me say this, because
no.
I know we get ready to get off, but if you pray consistently enough, you'll be like the ants with prayer that build up before the winter comes. Sometimes we pray when there's a crisis. But why not stockpile your prayers? We stockpile everything
else. Gratitude.
Exactly.
It's like, which way do you want me to go, God, instead of just about specific things. We are right at the end here, and I'm so happy you came on, and I definitely want to keep in touch. And it's just amazing how when we say, what do you want me to do, show me, and then it just starts happening, doesn't it? It really does.
Yes.
It's amazing.
I'm grateful. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you. Thank you so much. You're
humbled.
Amazing.
And you are too.
Thank you for what you're doing. And I'm going to get your books, and we're going to keep in touch. I just love it. I love it. Thank you. You're God, such a blessing. I can't believe how much it's amazing how God's used you in such a short time. When I say our time on earth is like a vapor, right? So it's amazing how you are just out there touching so many lives, and God bless you. So thank you for coming on. I don't like ever at the end. I don't, you know, when we do these, we always have to go, okay. So thank you,
No, we're going to stay in touch, Natalie. I want to stay in touch with you.
Absolutely.
Seriously, I want to stay in touch with
absolutely,
you.
Absolutely, Dr.
Okay.
Nick. I don't want to, absolutely. And so to everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Yes.